Hi everyone, I'm Daniela and you're listening to the Mellow Moment Pet Health Podcast.
One, two, three, four.
In today's episode, I talked to Ali Delacour about being the best parent for your pet. This means that regardless of affordability and accessibility, you can make your pets happy mentally, physically, and psychologically. So listen to Ali's tips on how to do that and how to not compare yourself to other pet parents. Hi everyone, I'm Daniela from Mella Pet Care, and today I'm joined by Ali. She's a pet parent who is passionate about helping other pet parents live their best lives with their pets. And so that is so fun, and we're going to talk so much about pet parenting today. But first, I'd just like to say welcome, Ali, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm really excited to be here, and I love everything about you guys, so I'm glad we got invited.
Of course. Yeah, it was my honor to extend an invitation to you to join the podcast. And so to begin, would you like to give a little bit of personal background just for the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Ali, and I'm one of the founders of Wag Enabled. And like you said, I'm just a pet parent who wants to provide practical advice to other pet parents about how to live just the best life that they can with their dog. I do have a background in applied animal behavior, as well as in veterinary technician studies as well. But ultimately, my passion is just practical pet parenting. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is so awesome. And I know that, you know, we're going to talk a little bit today, not only about how to be the best pet parent, but how to be the best parent for your individual pet, and, you know, and not just, you know, how am I the best pet parent in the world? Am I better than everybody else? Because that doesn't matter. It's just, are you being the best parent you can be to your individual pet, which I think is great. And so to kind of kickstart this conversation, how do you think you can give customized care to your pet?
I think it's really important to get to know your pet, you know, because like you said, each dog is very individual. What their needs are also individuals. And also you as a pet parent is also an individual. So I think getting to know your dog, setting those baselines as well. So understanding like normally on a day-to-day basis, where is my dog with energy level, health, for instance, with you guys, you know, making sure, do I know what temperature levels they're at? So that way, when things are going wrong or different, you're able to tell really quickly and right away. So that's my biggest thing, is making sure your baselines are set with your pet for everything that you do with them.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea because different pets do have different baselines. And so keeping track of that is definitely a fantastic tip. So how do you think there's some easy ways to take care of your pet's mental health, which, you know, arguably is even more important than physical health sometimes, and oftentimes they're even connected. And so what do you think are some tips there?
You know, I think like, again, just knowing kind of what your dog enjoys and what they don't enjoy. So for example, I have very high energy dogs and, you know, they do not like trick training, for instance. And trick training is such an easy thing to do with your dog. You don't have to have a lot of money for it. You can do, you know, watch YouTube videos, really gets a lot of energy out. But unfortunately, my dogs, they're just not into it. But what I find for me is that when we go on walks, like I assumed, oh my gosh, we're going to be running, getting all that energy out. But they just really love to sniff. Truffle loves to mark on everything. And that's a free thing for me to do. You know, it's not something that I have to, we're already going for walks already. So just kind of finding what they enjoy during those walks and finding that burns my dog's energy really, really fast. So I think that's my biggest advice for mental health is what does your dog enjoy and kind of how can you implement that on a day-to-day basis? For example, another, like if you have a beagle or a basset hound who are very smell driven and very curious dogs, Something as simple as putting their dog bowl in a different room and having them go find it. Oh my gosh, that mental energy that they have to use. And plus, it's like really taps into their instincts. It just brings a lot of joy to them. And it's really easy to do. There's a lot of advice, of course, you know, on YouTube, on our website. I'm going to plug that in real quick.
Please do. Go ahead.
But yeah, finding what does your dog enjoy and how can you implement those joys in your everyday life? And if it is something as simple, like with my dog, Bean Bean, is he loves to be a couch potato and just the snuggles and the belly rubs. That's what your dog wants. And that's the best way to provide that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you make such good points too about the breed specificity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just recently had another conversation with somebody who really mentioned how you don't realize these differences in breeds until you get your own. And so you have to do that research. You have to take that mm-hmm. extra step because regardless of what other breed you had previously, this new one's going to have different quirks and different personalities. And so if you say, I'm going to parent every single one of my dogs throughout my life the exact same way, that's not going to fly, you know, if you yeah. have the different pets. And so sometimes while personal experience with owning pets is great, you do have to adapt to the breeds. So that's fantastic. And so then kind of along those lines of mental health, what do you think are some ways to take care of your pets physically that are, you know, the top easy tips?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of my favorite tips, and this might seem kind of an obvious one, but build a great relationship with your vet. Whatever that relationship looks like, of course, we all want to work with that amazing naturopath, expert specialist, but work with a vet that's in your budget, within your means, but build that relationship. So they understand baselines of your dog. They understand, you know, the day-to-day life of your dog and really, you know, see them multiple times a year because dogs change so quickly so that they're familiar and you can spot when things are changing really, really quickly. That's my biggest advice for pet parents is that, you know, that relationship. And second is kind of like, what can you do at home to keep track of their health? You know, whether with you guys, it's the ability to now just like measure your dog's temperature under the arm. Like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. There's an app. There's also tests that you can do, you know, for stool samples. I recently did one from home for a skin sample because my dog is really itchy. And I just want to see if it's getting worse or if it's getting better. Those are like my things. And then of course, like third is kind of adapting to your dog, like understanding their limitations. So if they're getting older, you know, maybe we need to get some area rugs thrown so that way they're not slipping on your floors. I think like those kind of things, just like every dog owner can do. It's nothing extra than you already have to do. And of course, if you can go above and beyond and, you know, add special things in their diet to help them be even healthier, that's really great. And keeping them active, however that looks, to just keep them moving, you know, keeping them appropriate weight levels. And like with Truffle, for instance, we're going to have to start adjusting our activity level by including some water therapy, just because he can't be running around anymore as much. And obviously, that's not something that everybody can do, but trying to find other things that your dog can do to stay active, definitely good for their overall well-being and definitely for their health.
Yeah, I think you bring up such a good point about seeing your vet regularly. And I know a lot of people don't, and whether that's, you know, an accessibility thing or whether it's affordability or whether it's even that they get stressed out taking their pet there. I think there is something very valuable about having that relationship because they, yeah, you're right. They learn the baseline of your pet. Yeah. Just as well as you do. And so then if there is a problem, they can address that mm-hmm. a lot better. I think I've heard a lot about how with humans, they say that, you know, you have to be your own best advocate because yes. you know yourself the best, right? Well, the pets can't be their own best mm-hmm. advocate because they can't talk. And so you have to do that for them. But having okay. a vet that's with you every step of the way makes that so much easier and so much mm-hmm. more valuable. So yeah. Fantastic and, tip.
You know, I think going back to your comment, if you're not able to because of whatever your means and wherever your situation is, something as simple as, you know, keeping like a, this is going to sound gross, but like a poop journal for your dog. So you can keep track of any changes because, you know, going potty can reveal a lot about your dog's health. So if you're not able to have that very frequent relationship with a vet, try to keep as much information as you are able to at home. So that way, when you do go in, you have a lot more to give the vet of like, hey, I'm noticing that after he eats this or after certain activities, this is happening to him. Or, hey, you know, he's been great, but now I've noticed a pattern of XYZ. So if you can do that at home, that will kind of help if you're not able to see a vet often.
Yeah, that's such a great idea too, because I don't know how many times people have gone to the vet and then you totally forget. You know, the vet's like, okay, what are the problems? And you can't remember any of them because sometimes when you're put on the spot, you just can't. And then as soon as you leave the vet and your dog, you know, goes to the bathroom in the corner and has diarrhea, you're like, oh no, I should have addressed that. Why didn't I? So I'd love to hear just kind of your personal ways of keeping track of things. You know, what are the things that you look for? And, you know, how do you keep track of them? How do you write them down?
So, I mean, I brought up the poop journal. My dog Truffle has a lot of stomach issues and we're trying to pinpoint exactly what's causing that with the vet. And, you know, there are a lot of very expensive tests that you can run, allergy tests, etc. But being just a practical dog owner, where every single time he gets anything to eat or he has a new activity or we go to a new place, it gets written down in just a paper journal so I can keep track of and identify like, okay, what is causing his issues? And then for instance, like with Bean, he has a lot of skin issues. He has a lot of allergies. So we do a lot of at-home testing because it winds up to be cheaper than going to the vet. We work with a really reliable lab that does a lot of veterinary testing. So I think those are some things. We're also, of course, shameless plug for you guys. We are looking forward to trying out the thermos because, like, you know, until I met you guys, I never even thought about, like, I wouldn't know when my dog is having temperature or, like, has a fever or is not feeling good and their normal functions aren't. Right. And, yeah, it might be a little cost upfront, but how often will you use that and keep track of that? I think in the long run, it kind of pays off.
Yeah, no, I think all of these things are fantastic. You know, same way that you might keep a diary for whatever reason, that it's good to just keep track of what's going on with your pet. And yeah, I love that. And so I know we're going to talk a little bit about how, as a pet parent, you know, you want to be the best for your pet, right? And you don't want to have to compare yourself to other pets, pet parents and say, oh, you know, I know somebody who bought that $400 cat wheel for their cat. And oh God, I couldn't afford it. So now I'm a bad, you know, cat mom. And so how do you feel like people can really just avoid getting caught up with comparing themselves to others and kind of distill it down and realize that they are the best for their pet?
Honestly, like keeping track of two important questions. One, is your dog happy? And you can tell when your dog is happy, you know, they're just constantly on their belly, tongue out, wagging tail. And second, is your dog healthy? So, and of course, you can track that through like journals like we talked about, vets. And I think like if you're satisfying those two things, it will help you realize that it's like you're providing what you need for your dog. And then like whatever bare minimum that is, and then you just take that little extra step. So if your dog is happy, go lucky, you know, they're eating dry kibble every day. They go for a walk around the neighborhood. They're great weight. Their skin looks wonderful. Their teeth look great. They're just happy and relaxed. And then if you want to add another layer of like, okay, well, maybe now I'm adding some raw egg to their diet to increase the nutrient value. That makes you a fantastic dog owner who's identified ways to improve things, but also ensures that your dog is already like baseline happy and healthy. And then it's like, you know, your dog is unique. Like you were saying is, you know, just because somebody else's dog is, you know, eating really expensive dog food and can perform like 500 tricks on cue, doesn't mean that that's what your dog needs to do. It's like, what is your lifestyle and how does your dog fit into it? And what makes you both happy? I think that's just kind of just going back to the basics of, are we happy? Are we healthy? Just like, what is my dog's well-being? Is then be really helpful to try to avoid comparing and feeling sad when you think your dog is not doing what they should be doing.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that is just so important because, you know, we can't measure the happiness of our pet via like the expensive nature of the toys either. Right. And, you know, yeah. I have a lot of friends with pets and we're all still fairly young. So that means, you know, we don't have a lot of money. And so, we like a lot of people talk about how, you know, we don't have that next cool gadget or, you know, we can't afford to take them on these trips or, you know, like all of these new gadgets and experiences. And so sometimes like that barrier of accessibility and affordability can initially be mentally very difficult for a pet parent to say, well, I can't do that. So how can I, you know, provide the best life for our pets? Whereas in reality, it's true. Yeah, it's just, it's not about, you know, how expensive is that toy? It's about, you know, is your pet enriched, happy, healthy? So I think that's fantastic. I think so many pet parents need to hear that because, you know, so before shelling out $1,000 on that new toy for Christmas, just, you know, evaluate the current state of your pet.
And, you know, like going back to like, dogs, they don't care what you spend on it. So like something as simple, you know, like if you live in a everybody lives in a neighborhood and you're walking your dog every day, something as simple as just putting them in a car and driving a couple of streets over and now walking in that neighborhood, oh my gosh, that's changed the dog's world. They are on vacation, but they're, of course, you probably want to be on the beach, you know, sunbathing somewhere or wherever. But to a dog, something as simple as that is so mentally stimulating. They get to experience a new world and it's really not costing you anything. You're not doing anything that you aren't already. So just like little things like that, I mean, like they can go such a long way with your pup.
Yeah, no, I love that so much. It's actually funny. So half an hour before this recording that we're on right now, I had a conversation with Jessica Williams, who is really considered an expert in the dachshund field. And she was talking about enrichment and how her way of enriching her pets is taking them outside and like taking them to new hiking trails. And so, you know, one weekend they'll go to this trail, the other weekend they might do a picnic. And that's so great because that is just, you know, it's affordable because you don't have to shell out all this money, but it's so enriching because it's so new for your pets. And so I really love this new wave of pet parenting where it's about exploration and enrichment as opposed to just, you know, let's buy that new gadget.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's like you can spend all that money and then your dog doesn't want anything to do with it. And like,
that happens too.
You know, like they're just sitting in boxes and they're so happy with it. And it's like I said, like, you know, just remember that your dog just loves you. They want to be with you. And if you're doing the best that you can within your means, within your budget, within your accessibility, it's like, that's all that you need to do. And like, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Honestly, this has been like a very inspirational podcast, which I appreciate. It's very like, wow, like learning about yourself as a pet parent. And so I think this is actually the perfect transition over to our Mella signature question, which every guest gets to answer. And because we've had, you know, such a good conversation, it's always a good way to kind of tie a bow on everything. And so what does pet health and wellness mean to you in today's day and age?
So nowadays, millennials and Gen Zs, they have a lot more control over their pets in terms of health and well-being. They're a lot more educated as well because they have so much information accessible to them. Right. So I find myself as a pet parent, I want a lot more autonomy over my pet. I want to know, you know, what's going on with them. I want to have really open conversations with my veterinarian. It's no longer enough for us to just like, here's my dog. Vet, take them to the back, figure things out and tell me what's going on. No, I want to know exactly what's going on. We're doing a lot of things at home as well, you know, like with, like we do all of our labs from home, the temperature testing. There's so much more now that it's like, we want visibility into the overall well-being with our pets. So many apps that keep track that we're constantly, you know, I mean, you can even like track steps of your dog with the special collars and how heavy they're breathing. So a lot of that is moving towards that. Is pet parents want ownership over information. They want to be very hands-on with their pets, which is really exciting because I think more pets are getting that awesome quality of life that they deserve. So I think just kind of like moving into that direction of more visibility for pet parents is amazing. And as a pet parent, like whatever you can do to really understand what's going on with your dog on a day-to-day basis is going to be so beneficial because you're going to be able to catch when things are not going well so much faster. And you're going to be able to tell, you know, your vet or your behaviorist, your dog nutritionist, whoever you're seeing, that's like, this is the moment that I knew that something was going on. Here's kind of the data to back it up. And they're going to be able to help you so much better than if you just came in and was like, I don't know, something's different, but I don't know. So that visibility, accessibility, that control of information about your animal is so important and so great that we're in that age right now where that's possible.
Yeah, I think that's such a good answer. And I love that. I love that pet parents are moving more towards being proactive as opposed to, you know, waiting until something goes wrong to do something. So yeah, I think we're just seeing a really interesting shift and I'm very excited about the future. So very exciting. So as we wrap up this, unfortunately, very short episode, I know that every listener wants to keep up to date with what you're doing. And so how can they go and see what's going on at Wag Enabled?
Absolutely. Check us out on our website, wagenable.com. We have some really cool memberships, including free information for pet parents on just how to take everything that you do with your pet and just increase it a little bit more to just really enhance that relationship. Feel free to, of course, email me, pets@wagenable.com. Check out our social. We have a lot of information and we're here to support you as a pet parent and to never judge you for whatever's going on. I think, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Ali, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a great chat.
Thank you so much. This was really great.
Thank you all for listening, and make sure to check out the show notes for all links to everything mentioned in this episode. Head over to www.mela.ai to learn more about what's happening over here at Mela Pet Care and for more ways to keep your pet healthy and happy. And finally, don't forget to check out the Mela Moment Pet Health Podcast on LinkedIn and Instagram.